pray this in your holy name.
Amen.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, I love the energy. It's glad. I know that you guys are here now in this place. It's great. Today is Transfiguration Sunday, right? And what does transfiguration mean but change, right? And there's two things that Lutherans don't especially like. Okay, the first one, can you take a guess? Three things that the Lutherans generally don't like. The first one is no, sitting in the front row. Yes. The second one is cold coffee. The third one is
change.
Change. Exactly. I suspect that every one of you here today could tell stories about the changes that you have experienced in your life, or the changes that are happening in your life right now, even, or maybe even the changes that you hope for, or the changes that you fear happening in your life. Which kind of begs the question, how do we live in the midst of change? What handholds are there where, when it seems the world around us, as well as the world within us, is changing a lot? I wonder if the disciples in today's gospel might be asking those same kind of questions. And if they too are feeling the winds of change blowing through their lives. And here's why I say that, and here's why I wonder that. Immediately before Jesus takes Peter, John, and James up to the top of the mountain, he tells them and others that he must suffer and die and be resurrected on the third day. He will tell them this again after they come down from the mountain. What happened on that mountaintop took place between Jesus' two statements of impending change. Right? That's big change in the lives of the disciples. Maybe that event, this event that we call the Transfiguration, was about preparing and helping the disciples live through the coming change that they were going to experience. Maybe the Transfiguration story has something to teach us and show us about how we can live in the midst of change as well. Maybe that's why every year the Transfiguration gospel is on the last Sunday after the Epiphany, the Sunday before we enter the season of Lent, where we focus on change, right? Change, whether on the mountaintop of life or in the valley of the shadow of death, is a reality for all of us. It truly, truly is. So there's three things that I want to talk about in this gospel passage, and there's three statements that I want to highlight, okay? The three statements that I see in here that are important to me today: listen to him, get up, do not be afraid. The first one, listen to him. One of the things that I am aware of in the midst of change is how many voices begin to speak. Some of those voices are outside of me, and some of those voices are within. There are voices of commentators chattering about what is happening and what should be done. There's voices of judgment, voices of second guessing. There's voices of fear. There are voices of self-doubt, self-criticism, and all of the would-haves and could-haves and should-haves that we have in our life. Some voices tell us to run and hide, while other voices tell us to fight and resist. Some voices ask questions and want explanations, While other voices deny what is happening. They blame or declare it to be the end of the world. So many voices. So many voices crying out for attention. You know what? Not every voice is helpful. And not every voice is worth even listening to. The story of the Transfiguration says that there is only one voice that is worth listening to. The voice of God speaks from that bright cloud that's overshadowing the mountain and overshadowing Peter, James, and John. And it says, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Listen to him. What if, in the midst of all of this change that we experience in our lives, what if we sought to hear and listen to the voice of Jesus? What if we kept our ears open to what he is saying in our life? To let ourselves become aware of what he is saying and doing. To let his concerns and desires become our concerns and desires. To let his way of engaging life and the world become our way of engaging life and the world. What if? It would mean that whatever change comes upon us, it does not have the final word. It doesn't have the final say. Jesus is always speaking a word that is larger and more powerful than all the other voices. In the midst of change, Jesus speaks a word of life. In the midst of change, he speaks a word of hope, a word of forgiveness, a word of mercy, a word of beauty. Word of generosity and a word of courage. He speaks a word of healing. Jesus speaks a word of love. Jesus speaks a word to you and to me. The question is, are we listening to that word? Are we listening to his voice? Get up. Command. I suspect we've all faced change, right? Yes. We've all faced change. And I bet that we have all faced some kind of change that has caused us to stumble and fall, or even maybe paralyzed us, or left us overwhelmed with life. Again, this isn't about whether the change is perceived as good or bad. Okay? This is not about whether change is perceived as good or bad. Okay, let's let the Harleys go by. Okay, I think we're safe. It's not about good or bad. This is about regaining our balance and getting our feet back under us again. It's about stepping into new life when we aren't sure what that even looks like. The three disciples, Matthew tells us, fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. Jesus touches them and says, "Get up. Get up." I say that to my boys every morning. Get up. Right? But here in this reading, it's more than that. It's more than just get up. A more literal translation would be something like be raised up. Be aroused from the sleep of death. Or maybe even be resurrected. The Greek word that's used here is hegerthete. And that word is used when Jesus heals the paralytic, telling him to stand up in Matthew 9. It's also used when Jesus takes the hand of the little girl, the little daughter who died of the synagogue leader, and tells her to get up. Same word. It's It's also used when Jesus instructs the 12 to raise the dead. It's also used when Jesus tells his own resurrection to the disciples. It's the same word, get up. The angel who tells the women who come to Jesus' tomb, it's also used in that story. He is not here, for he has been raised. The same word. Jesus comes to us in whatever circumstances of change that we find ourselves in, touches us, and says, get up, be raised, come to new life. It's the promise that though life has changed, it is not ended. It's the promise that new life is found in the midst of change, even when we cannot see it or do not believe it. God uses the changing circumstances of our lives and the world to bring us into new life. Do not be afraid. All of us, I am assuming, live with some level of fear. We all live with some level of fear. Change often brings about fear, right? The fear of losing what we love, the fear of losing what we value or desire. And sometimes it's the fear that comes with getting what we want or wanted. In the midst of change, Jesus says, do not be afraid. He speaks to the heart of the human condition. Do not be afraid. They are the words that we need to hear when we are raised up and back on our feet after change. I don't know what changes that you're dealing with in your lives. Maybe it's in your marriage or with your children, or maybe it's the death of a loved one, or maybe it's your health or your age or your physical and mental well-being. Maybe it concerns your work or your job or your income or your church. Maybe it's a dream or plans that just didn't work out. Maybe life is going exactly like you want it to. Maybe everything has fallen in place, and for the first time, you felt alive. Listen to him. Get up. Do not be afraid. What if those words are holy wisdom for times of change? What if they are the means by which we step into our very own transfiguration? The thought, maybe it wasn't Jesus who changed on the mountaintop. Maybe it was Peter, James, and John. Maybe their eyes or their minds were opened and their seeing is what changed. So that everywhere they looked, they saw Jesus himself alone. Maybe they saw Jesus for the first time, as he had always been. If that's true, and I kind of think it is, then that means that every change that we experience, whether it's good or bad, or however we want to label it, wanted or unwanted, joyful or sorrowful, means it's illumined with divine light, and it's filled with God's presence. Maybe we Lutherans need to view change a little differently. Listen to him. Be raised up. Do not be afraid. Gracious God, we thank you for meeting us here. We thank you for your words of wisdom. We thank you for the change that you bring in our lives, for making us into better people, more of an image of who you are. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to transfigure us from the inside out. Help us to be more like you. Help us to see the world through your eyes. Lord, we ask that you give us those opportunities. Give us the opportunities to spread your love, to invite people to come, so that they might experience your love as well. We pray this in your everlasting holy name.